The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Today's Torah content is sponsored by Abigail Zucker in honor of the 90th birthday of her grandfather Yedidia Halimi, whose dedication to Torah and mitzvot continues to be an inspiration. May Hashem grant him many more years of health and happiness. Hello, I am Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. And today is going to be a weird episode. You know how sometimes you just randomly wake up and have lyrics from songs of TV shows that you watched as a kid stuck in your head? Well, that's what happened to me this morning. I woke up and I had what I thought was a line from the Animaniacs theme song. Turns out it was really a line from the Tiny Toon Adventures theme song, which, easy mistake to make, because both of these were series in the early 90s, and they're both produced by Steven Spielberg and Warner Brothers, and I just got mixed up. So when I looked into both of them, I realized that the lines in question really kind of serve as like two halves of each one serves as a half of a Mishlei Pasuk. Okay, how so? So in the Animaniacs theme song, Yakko, Wacko, and Dot say, "The writer's flipped, we have no script, why bother to rehearse?" And then in the Tiny Toon Adventures theme song, Plucky Duck says, "The scripts were rejected, expect the unexpected." Okay, so of course, my thought went to premeditatio malorum, right, of the premeditation of evils, and that both sides of the pasuk, quote unquote, in this case, are acknowledging that there is that there's no script, you know, that there's I'm obviously taking liberties with this from the song, but like, if you're expressing this as an idea, there is no script. Or if there is a script, to whatever extent anything is scripted, you don't have the script, right? So the question, though, is what do you do with that? So there are two attitudes. So the Animaniacs take the attitude of, since there's no script, why bother to rehearse? And Plucky Duck takes the Stoic attitude of, the scripts were rejected, expect the unexpected, which is, since there's no script, or since your script was rejected, then you really have to take the initiative and try to plan for you know what can happen, I'm not coming up with this metaphor on my own. This is something that Epictetus and I think the other Stoics use this metaphor, the metaphor of the play actor. For example, in the Enchiridion, the handbook, chapter 17, Epictetus says, "Remember that you are an actor in a play of such a kind that the playwright chooses. Short if he wants it short, long if he wants it long. If he wants you to play the part of a beggar, play even this part well. And so also for the parts of a disabled person, an administrator, or a private individual. For this is your business, to play the part well you are given, but choosing it belongs to another." Another with a capital A, meaning God. So again, this is just one example of the quote, but using this metaphor of you are actors in life, and you're being given the script, and your job is to play it well. And if there are changes that are made to the script, then you have to adapt. And really, I mean, the most concise, I mean, I'm sure there's many of them, but the other line from Epictetus's handbook that came to mind is in chapter 8, "Do not demand that things should happen just as you wish, but wish them to happen just as they do, and all will be well." And that's really, in that sense, it's really more of a, I mean, I guess, I don't know if you want to say that an improv actor might be a better analogy here. But anyway, so I was thinking about these thoughts because these lines from these songs were playing in my mind this morning. And it led me to this realization, not a new realization, but like, you've probably noticed that in this podcast, even though it's called the Stoic Jew podcast, then I bring in lots and lots of other writers and sources that are not the Stoics, that are not the official Stoics, you know? I actually got a book earlier this year, which I have been using, called The Practicing Stoic, A Philosophical User's Manual by Ward Farnsworth. And one of the things I like about this book, the book is arranged in by topic. One of the things I like about it is that he doesn't limit himself to quoting from what he calls the canonical Stoics, meaning The canonical Stoics are Seneca, Epictetus, and Marcus Aurelius. But in addition to quoting from them, he quotes other thinkers from that time period, such as Epicurus, who, even though he was opposed to, or even though Epicureanism and Stoicism were viewed as rival schools of thought, then Seneca draws heavily upon Epicurus and acknowledges the Chachma where he sees it. This book also quotes from Cicero and from Plutarch. And then there are much later authors as well that this book quotes from, Montaigne, Samuel Johnson, Adam Smith, Arthur Schopenhauer, and I think others. And what I like about it is this recognition that, you know, I am an Orthodox Jew, but I don't think there's any place for orthodoxy in Stoicism. You know, Stoicism is a way of thinking about life. And it's true that most of the Stoic teachings come to us from those three writers, but why should we limit ourselves to those three? Really, anywhere you see Stoic ideas expressed, then that's an opportunity to learn from them, whether it be from, you know, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Teddy Roosevelt, or Plucky Duck and Yakko, Wakko, and Dot. And this is, I guess, I got an email from a student earlier this week talking about how she was making a connection between my ideas I expressed on the Tisha B'Av episode of the Stoic Jew podcast and two of her favorite songs. And she mentioned that one of the things that she appreciates about the way that I approach Torah is really being able to see Torah everywhere. And I, in my response to the student's email, I said, yeah, I mean, that is my, that's my orientation towards Torah, which is that Torah is the regimen for living as a human being and developing as a human being. And therefore its ideas will pertain to everything in life. And you should see those ideas reflected back at you from life. And there's a process of encountering the ideas in Torah and, you know, whether in the form of a behavioral form like mitzvos or whether in an idea form in learning. And there tends to be a certain abstractness or conceptual distance that I find when I encounter the ideas in Torah, which has its place, obviously. You know, that's when you're in the Beis Midrash studying and analyzing and learning an idea, you are doing it with you're approaching it with your mind and trying to get it as clear as possible. But then the work remains to be able to see that idea in the particulars in real life and to apply it to the particulars in real life. And that's where I find that movies and books and real world experiences, come into the picture, meaning that you then see the ideas that you've been learning, you see it reflected back at you in real life, and then that allows you to sharpen the idea, not from an abstract standpoint of getting clarity as a svara, as a conceptual theory, but seeing the crystal, you know, sharpness of this is what the idea looks like in particular form, and then it leads to this, you know, this back and forth and back and forth of constantly refining your Torah ideas in light of your experiences and then refining and then perceiving your experiences or recontextualizing your experiences in light of your Torah. And yeah, there's, you know, there are obviously dangers in this because you never know whether you are allowing your experience to distort or you know, otherwise warp your understanding of Torah, and you also never really know whether your ideas of Torah are being forced into the real world in a way that is not, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's forced, that's not natural. But that's the process of life, and I think that a person would be you'd be shortchanging yourself if you didn't have both those components. In other words, if you only approached Torah ideas in the hermetically sealed ivory tower of the Beis Midrash and never really like looked at life through that lens, then you're missing the whole point of Torah. You're not connecting it to action. And if you try to just derive how to live from day-to-day experiences, then you're not taking advantage of the Torah that Hashem gave you. So that's kind of been the endeavor of the Stoic Jew podcast. And this is not a new idea, but just something that came to mind. That came to mind as I was thinking about the Tiny Toon lyrics this morning. Side point, and I'm only mentioning this because I was thinking about Stoicism in relation to scripts being rejected and expecting the unexpected. So there is a documentary on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix original called The Movies That Made Us. They just came out with a second season, and each episode is, I feel like it's 30 minutes or 45 minutes, quite short. And it's about, let me actually just look this up so I can give you the details here. It is about movies that had a big impact on the world or on, you know, that were favorites. So the first season, hold on just one second here. First season is about the movies, I haven't seen all of them, but Dirty Dancing, Home Alone, Ghostbusters, and Die Hard. And then the second season is about Back to the Future, Pretty Woman, Jurassic Park, and Forrest Gump. I liked the second season better because I found the guy in the first season much more annoying, the narrator. But the stories are really interesting. And basically each episode revolves around how the movie was conceived and all of the crazy obstacles that went into trying to make these movies. And there really are crazy examples. I mean, crazy obstacles. Like, again, with Back to the Future, you know, the fact that they filmed a great deal of the movie and then had to face the fact that the actor that they cast for the role of Marty McFly was the wrong person, and that it wasn't working out. And then they had to, like try to work it out to get Michael J. Fox to be on board with the movie, you know, things like that, or opposition from studio heads and or copyright issues. So as I was thinking about this, I was realizing every episode of this documentary. I mean, and I'm sure you could say this about many documentaries, but this documentary in particular, because it centers around movies that we're familiar with the end product, but not what went into it. It's a really good example of Stoic thinking in action. And it sounds ridiculous, but like when Seneca and Marcus Aurelius draw upon examples from famous wars and battles, which for them were very easy to relate to, but for us, I don't know, I can't relate to those things. This is a much better, this is the modern equivalent in my opinion, meaning whether you're talking about, you know, business deals or movie making or other, you know, our celebrities and seeing, or our creative, individuals, you know, Steve Jobs, when you see what these people went through and you see where they either applied Stoic principles or failed to apply Stoic principles and what happened, it ends up being good mussar. And again, just to tie this back in, I mean, my interest in Stoicism is tightly bound up with my interest in Michelet. And I quoted this in a recent blog post, but in Michelet 1:20-21, it says, Chachma calls out in the streets and the public squares. She gives forth her voice at the heads of noisy streets, at the entrance of gates. She gives forth her words. And that's really what the Stoic Jew podcast and what much of what I teach is aimed at doing, is enabling you. First and foremost, enabling myself, but really trying to express provide a taste of what it's like to learn Torah in a way where the goal is to hear the chachma and the musar of Torah everywhere, and for anything that happens to you to be a source of new insight and to give you a new epiphany about Torah or a new application of Torah or something like that. And this episode today, as strange as it is to focus on Plucky Duck and the Warner Brothers and Warner Sister, I think it's a good example of that. So that was today's random episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis and my Zelle and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, computer. You can reach me at rabbishnamos@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.